The sounds of Ireland, Scotland, and Wales are not restricted to those places. Culture travels, especially with music. Celtic music is a regular feature of the offerings at the Black Sheep Pub in Ashland. Every Sunday afternoon, musicians gather for a few hours to play songs from across the ocean. But that regular jam is ending. The owner of the Black Sheep announced a while back that she will close the place down in late July. A combination of wanting to do something different with her life and seeing the lease terms go up on the space that she's been renting all these years. So the Sunday Celtic Jam has to find a new home. We invited some of the musicians to join us for songs and stories. We have Simon Parker Shames, who walked in from Ashland this morning here in the studio. Simon, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
And it looks that'll be microphone 6, Waleed. Can we get you there, Simon?
Thanks for having me.
There you are. Okay. And then Dan Engel, just walked into the studio just as getting his bow together and his fiddle out of his case. Dan, thank you for joining us. I know you're a little far from a microphone still. Good to see you both here.
Thank you for having us.
So, Simon, I guess we'll have some of the pressure to talk will fall on you. Tell us a bit about your own experiences with the Celtic Jam and how long you've been going there.
Oh, goodness. I feel a little awkward representing the much larger group. I've been at versions of a Celtic Jam since the late 90s, early 2000s. I think the current Black Sheep session started maybe in 2007. John Hill was instrumental in getting that started, and Louis Leger was also important early on.
Okay. Once Dan's done putting himself together, we're going to ask him about some of these questions too. But so tell us a bit about yourself and how long you've been playing music. We should point out for the folks who do not have the benefit of TV, because we are in fact a radio station, that you have an accordion in your lap.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been playing since high school. Goodness, 22 years or so. Sometimes have a rocky relationship with this instrument. There are times I've tried to give it up, but keep coming back to it.
What's the rocky relationship about? I mean, the accordion certainly is the butt of many jokes. You've probably seen the bumper stickers, you know, pro accordion and I vote, things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It can be a little loud and overbearing, and there are times when I'm like, oh, I could play a nice, sweet, mellow instrument. But,
Do you play other instruments? You brought a drum in here as well.
I tinker around with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. And do you play music professionally, or is this a sidelight to another career?
No, this is purely a hobby.
Mm-hmm. So when you're not playing Celtic music at the Black Sheep, what else do you do?
I'm a Master of Public Health student, hopefully finishing up soon from University of Washington, and I do a little health informatics consulting in the Valley.
Mm-hmm. So are you doing your education long distance then? If you're
Most of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, sounds interesting. So are there other venues for Celtic music other than this big one at the Black Sheep?
I think one of the big questions within the community is how will the structure of the space change the culture of the session? The Black Sheep has been much more open just because it can fit so many people than a lot of the other past sessions. We've had smaller sessions at the coffee shop Evo's at one point. And, you know, if only a few people can fit in, there's a vetting process. And if the venue can fit 25 people, it's much easier to be more open and allow lots of different types of players in. And for me personally, that's been really important. This has been an essential piece of my musical education. I kind of came into this session playing some you know, not so traditional styles, unusual keys, unusual instruments, and I've gained an appreciation for the tradition kind of through the gentle nudging of fellow musicians. And for me personally, I think that's really important for this community. And I'd like to find us to find a way that we can find a venue that can support that kind of culture. If it ends up being a really small venue, well, it means three or four people get to play and they're probably the best musicians. And that doesn't make it a welcoming space for newcomers. So that's a big point of discussion in the community right now.
Dan Engel has finished his setup. He's got what appears to be a fiddle, guitar, and is it a mandolin?
Yes, it's an octave mandolin, but depending upon where you're from, it's called by various names, a bouzouki or a cittern, or have you heard it called a blarge? but I call it an octave mandolin.
All right, hang on a second. I have to adjust that microphone. All right, I think that gets it this time. I've just about had it with that microphone. It seems like you move it a millimeter and it goes out. So there you are at last. We can hear you. So it's called a blarch or a bouzouki?
Yeah, depending upon where you're from and what geographical area, it's known by different names. Some people call it an octave mandolin. It's also called a blarge, a cittern, and a bouzouki. And a lot of people call it a bouzouki. There's a history where back in the 70s, one of the members, I think it was the group Planxty, but I could be wrong on the history of it, introduced the Greek bouzouki, and it was basically a three- or a four-stringed instrument tuned in fifths, much like a lap dulcimer, and like its tuning, and was able to play melody and drone chords to back the musicians, the fiddlers, and the melody instruments. And then other experimentation was done, and mandolins, like a mandola, was brought in, and mandolins tuned a whole octave lower, in this case an octave mandolin, because it had a rich sound, and it supported the music as far as a backup accompaniment. And it's been kind of a mainstay ever since it was introduced in the 70s.
Can't wait to hear some of the sounds. We'll have to get to that after a break. Dan Engel and Simon Parker Shames are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. They are among the people who show up for the Celtic Jam at the Black Sheep Pub in Ashland, which is coming to an end as the Black Sheep plans to close its doors in about a month after 25 years in existence in Ashland. We'll talk about the music, and then we'll hear some of the music as well when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about and listening to, or about to listen to, Celtic music for a particular reason very peculiar to one venue in the region. The venue is the Black Sheep Pub in Ashland. The owner of the pub has announced her intention to close the place down after 25 years. She wants to do something different. The lease is going up, all sorts of issues involved in the shutdown after 25 years of the Black Sheep. But it affects not just the regular patrons who are there just for the food and drink, but also for the people who come to play the Celtic Jam on Sunday afternoons between 2 and 5 p.m. We have two of the representatives of that jam here, Simon Parker Shames and Dan Engel, on various instruments, and you'll be hearing their song stylings in just a few moments. But we just want you to know that they're looking for a place to play their Celtic Jam similar to what they have right now at the Black Sheep. And so let's get some indication of how long this has been going. So, Dan Engel, were you at as part of this the whole session when it started at the Black Sheep?
No, I'm a
relative newcomer. I'm a relative newcomer.
Yeah.
Sorry, bad microphone.
Yeah. We good? Okay. Yeah, I'm a relative newcomer to the area. I moved up into this area about 2 years ago, March. I live east of Yreka, so that's only a 40-mile commute, and but to play in a session of this size and magnitude in terms of the talent, the camaraderie, the bonhomie, everything that is, you know, there's that ineffable quality of when the music comes together and everybody's making the music, it's just the greatest high you could ever have, you know. And I come for the music, and the tunes just light me up inside, and that's... you know, that's my drug of choice, is the music.
Talk about the complexity of Celtic music. I mean, it seems like there's some things about it that make it different to play, if not more difficult to play, for the casual chords only musician like myself.
Well, I'm right now I've got a guitar in a tuning called Dadgad, D-A-D-G-A-D, where the top two string, the high and the low strings are lowered a whole step, and the second highest string is lowered a whole step. And what this open tuning does is it allows more freedom to follow the melody wherever it wanders. And Irish tunes are not so much in a key as they are in a mode, which means it's kind of like if you had a piece of property and and there was a cow path, and it wandered on the corner of the property and then went off the property. That's sort of how some Irish tunes are. They don't really stick to what Western melody would say is, you know, a certain chord progression or a certain melodic thing. And so the open tuning allows me to play more melodic accompaniment in real time and follow it wherever it's wandering, and rather than just play one chord and kind of force the tune to be in or on a certain chord, it gives it and it opens it up to interpretation. Someone would play one chord here, another person might play another chord, but it sounds good either interpretation, as long as the two guitarists aren't playing the same time different chords.
Uh-huh. Why don't you give us an example? What do you want to go to first here?
Simon's going to play a set of jigs, and I'm going to follow him wherever he's going to take me.
All right, here we go. This is Simon Parker Shames and Dan Engel here on the Jefferson Exchange. Jigs here on the Jefferson Exchange by Simon Parker Shames on accordion and Dan Engel on guitar. They are both semi-regulars or regulars at the musical gathering of Celtic musicians on Sundays at the Black Sheep Pub in Ashland, which is closing its doors in a month, which is part of the reason for our gathering here in the studio today. Simon, let's talk about the accordion. I've always marveled. I've played accordions that have maybe 12 buttons on them, and this one has, I can't even do the math here, it looks like about at least 60.
120,
okay.
there's a dot on one of them.
Uh-huh. So you can find your way around it.
Yeah.
So what do they all do? What I mean, these are chords in your left hand, or
yeah,
chords and bass,
yeah,
notes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's chords and bass notes on the left hand. In Irish music, they're used fairly sparingly compared to other styles. often I'm trying to emulate either the drones and stops on an Ilan pipe or the bass notes on a concertina. So I'm usually trying to imitate another sound. The accordion's are also a relatively new addition to the tradition, but an accordion probably back to the early 1800s, keyboard coming in late 1800s, early 1900s.
As I understand, too, and an accordion is easier to keep in tune than Ilan pipes.
Yes, yes, although harder to tune.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Break
yes.
out your file.
And, because yeah. you have to file the reeds down. And you've been playing it for 22 years, you said? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work on both hands then.
Yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk to Dan Engel about all the instruments you play, because you did bring three in here today. So you've got quite a repertoire you can go to.
I try to play whatever is needed as far as the tonal palette. So if there's six people playing fiddle, I'll go to guitar. Or if there's a whole bunch of people playing mandolin, I'll go hop on the fiddle. It just kind of completes the sound. And I started playing back when I was about 18, 19, the old-time tradition. And then once I heard Irish music, I was basically captivated by the lilt and the lyric beauty of the melodies. And as my technique got better, I started playing more and more Irish tunes. And I branched out. I started on the banjo and then went to fiddle and then added the octomandolin and then probably last but not least the Irish style guitar backup. But they're all strings, so they're really not that. Once you play one, you can kind of learn the others fairly quickly if you just learn the different fingerings and chords and whatnot.
How different are the chords, for example, on the mandolin versus the guitar? And particularly, I mean, even the guitar tuning is going to be, your chord fingering is going to be different based on how you've tuned the guitar, too.
Yeah, it's a function of the tuning. The standard mandolin tuning is G, D, A, E, like a violin. But I tune my top string down a whole step, which allows me more. It actually allows me to finger the melodies in fast tempos much more easily, and it allows me to also play chords, switch from melody to chords, and you'll get to hear that in this next set we're going to do.
Well, let me ask you first, though, about the gathering of the Black Sheep in particular. You mentioned it's a 40 mile commute. So this is no insignificant distance to cover for the love of music.
Well, when I lived in the Bay Area in the San Francisco area, I would commute maybe 60 miles one way to go to a really nice session in San Francisco from Petaluma, and just because California is laid out as everything is so vastly far apart, you just get used to driving where you need to go, and that's just one of them. And I feel quite lucky that it's only 43 miles from door to door where I live to go to this session. This is probably one of the better sessions. I don't think you'll find one as happening as this one, even though it's going to be shutting down soon, for about a 500-mile radius, given the talent pool and the people that come. It's not uncommon to have 15 to 20 people playing in the session, which the energy really gets going.
Oh, push the microphone parts back together again, if you would, on the back there. Yeah, I don't know what the thing is. I'm really going to take that to see the chief engineer today.
Okay.
There we go. So, but Simon, this is what you were talking about before. This is a big session and a welcoming session. But, I mean, who decides who gets to play? I mean, is anybody who enforces discipline in the group, or is it just a reluctance to look ridiculous in front of a bunch of good musicians?
You know, the session, the culture of the session waxes and wanes. There are times when it's, when people are really, really open I think some people feel like the quality goes down the tubes for a while, and then people kind of step up and say, you know, we'd really rather you not play that instrument at the session. So I think that's – my personal opinion is that's kind of the dance of the culture, to figure out where's the right balance point. And folks have different opinions. But there's no formal set of rules. There's no gatekeeper. I do want to add to what Dan was saying. This is especially for such a small community and one without a huge Irish presence, this is one of the better known sessions on the West Coast, and it's a really special thing we've got in our community.
All right. So you look like you're raring to go. You put the octomandolin on pretty much as soon as you took the guitar off. So what's the next plan here, Dan Engel?
Well, let's see. This set's going to be first one's a jig called The King of the Pipers. The second tune's a tune called Humors of Ballylaughlin, and the last tune is a tune called Sport. And I'll be switching between melody and chords and kind of going all everywhere at once. And Simon's going to have his way with his instrument, and let's make it happen here.
We'll try to keep up. Dan Engel and Simon Parker Shames here on the Jefferson Exchange. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are getting regaled in the studio by the sounds of Celtic music from Simon Parker Shames on the accordion and Dan Engel, who's been playing octomandolin and guitar and is now tuning up his fiddle as well. They are regulars at the Celtic music session on Sundays at the Black Sheep Pub in Ashland. The Black Sheep Pub has announced it is shutting down about a month from now, so they'll be looking for a new place to hold this jam session, which they've already described as a special one. It's a chance to get some really good musicians, and as Dan Engel mentioned, perhaps one of the best within about 500 miles, because there are just that many good musicians who can make it to the Black Sheep Pub for these Sunday sessions. So has the search begun already, Dan Engel, for a new venue for this event?
We have started looking and asking and inquiring. The downside is there are not too many places that have enough space to accommodate upwards of 20 musicians. And so, you know, we're putting the word out. Our hopes, with our fingers crossed, is that some kind soul would come in and purchase the
Black Sheep. And just keep it running as is.
Well, with minor changes, but everyone wants to put their stamp on it and make it their own restaurant, of course, but we're hoping the session would be sort of like a package deal that comes with it, because we bring a lot of people into the area. They come just for that afternoon, whereas if it's just a regular Sunday afternoon, there's not a lot of, my experience is there's not a lot of business come in that time of day. And so we tend to attract over the years a big following that is nothing but good business practice. From someone were to purchase it, they'd have this, you know, this built-in people coming in on Sundays just as a regular thing that's been going on, and just continue the tradition. So we have our fingers crossed. But if there are venues out there that's interested, please contact us by all means.
Is there a group historian? Has somebody taken on the role of the person who keeps track of all the people who've played over the years and how many sessions there have been and all that sort of thing?
Well, I would have to defer to, like, maybe John Hill or William Green, who were two of, I think, what would be the founders of the session back around 2001. And I think maybe Dave Hanger as well. And there were a few other people, like Louis Leger, who was way before my time. But there were a number of husband and wife couples that played, that came in and got the ball rolling. And they originally were at the Caldera for about 5-6 months, and then they found their way to the Black Sheep, and it's been there ever since. So John Hill, he's a violin maker in Medford of quite renown. He is probably one of the founders and would have the detailed history of it, but from what I understand, it's started back around 2001.
Go ahead.
But as far as I know, no one's kind of written up the history or compiled it. I personally think it's ripe. I think if there are any budding historians out there, it could be a great project.
So you're talking about, what, 16 years or so that this has been going
about
on?
That, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just can imagine there'd be so many names of people who've come through and played over the years. Any real memories that stand out for either of you in the time that you've been coming to visit these, Simon?
Oh, goodness. You know, it's the... Just about every year, there's kind of a Robert Burns Scottish night, and that's always quite an event with pipers, and it gets
true
pretty wild.
Scottish pipes and everything.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Inside, it's not the wisest choice. But
I've been in the Black Sheep if people brought Scottish pipes in. It was
yeah, yeah. You know, for me, it's really not so much one event as they're these like moments of brilliance that come through when it all clicks and everyone's contributing, and it's I wish I could play you little video clips. That mm-hmm. would be perfect.
I'm glad you mentioned video clips. I do have the video camera in here. We can put a couple of clips of you guys playing your stuff up on Facebook, and we'll make the link back to jeffexchange.org once the show's over.
I think we're better on radio.
that's a remark everybody makes. It's like, hey, you didn't say there were going to be pictures. It's like, well, we have a Facebook page and we have a web page and stuff. So, yeah, we do take pictures of guests. We have about 10 minutes left. Okay. What else would you guys like to do?
You have a set you want to do? You want to do the beauty spot, or you got something?
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is a set that we put together over time, and this is what I would consider a really nice mating of tunes. The first tune is called the Creel of Purchase, and I guess it's the basket you put the fish in after you've caught them. Although I have heard in my travels, you know, the telephone game where someone hears it, doesn't quite get it the right way, and it travels. I've heard people call it the can of peaches.
From Creel of Purchase, that's
yeah. Great. The second tune is called the Curra Races, and then the last tune is called the Beauty Spot, and it's one of my favorites.
All right, so here we go. Dan Engel and Simon Parker Shames here in the studio on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you. Dan Engel and Simon Parker Shames on the Jefferson Exchange, recounting some of the events at the Celtic Music Jam on Sundays at the Black Sheep Pub in Ashland, which is closing in about a month. So that is the reason for our session here today. Not to try to give you the full buffet, but to give you a flavor of it, and to talk about the future of the potential event. And there are other Celtic jams around the region. You were saying something about that earlier, weren't you, Simon?
Former versions. I mean, this kind of gathered up a lot of littler groups that didn't quite have the staying power.
Okay, so this has been really the one that's driven Celtic music conclaves in the Rogue Valley for quite some time.
Yeah.
Dan Engel, so what are the next steps? I mean, first of all, how surprised were any of you by the news that the Black Sheep was considering closing? I mean, it's been a fixture in Ashland for a long time, but nothing's forever.
Well, it would be like if you got the news that a family member that was near and dear to you but lived, you know, two states away suddenly passed, you're just like, oh, my God. Well, that's what, speaking for myself, that's what I felt like. Oh, my God. You know, like, oh, the tradition is coming to a close. We're going to have to see what we can do to make or create a new space, a new session, and try and find something big enough to be as inclusive as the one we had, because the size of the venue will dictate what the session would be. Like, if they only have, like, I played at a session in Marin when I lived in California, where it was just a tiny little stage that had room for eight chairs. And it was sort of first come, first serve. And there was a house band that hosted it, so there were four chairs gone. So there was basically room for four or five people to come and join the session. It wasn't that inclusive, but it was dictated by space. And we're hoping we can find something large enough that it will continue the inclusivity, where as long as you can have some facility with your instrument and you're familiar with the Irish tradition, it's not like you just, you know, went to a store, bought a Bowron and go, hey, I can play the drum. Hey, I think I'll sit in on the session and not know the rhythms or the timing or, you know, the appropriate places to play or not play. Like if someone is singing a song, you wouldn't want to play the Bowron to accompany them unless they wanted it. I'm being a little...
A little hard on the Bowron.
Well, no, it's just, for instance, in the old time tradition or bluegrass, it's the tunes are pretty much three chord songs, three chord tunes, and so if you're playing guitar, you can pretty much throw a chord at the wall, and if it's not that, then it's a 50% chance it's the other one of the three. I'm being a little generalized, but the thing of old-time and bluegrass sessions are basically they do one tune at a time, and they do it for maybe 10, 20 minutes. I mean, it's just they get into a trance. But the tunes are easy to learn, so you don't really have to know it. You can learn it on the fly. Irish tunes are a little more complex, a little more involved, and generally if you don't know the tune, you probably won't be able to suss out the chord progression on the fly if you don't know the music. So the unwritten rules, I mean, they're not really written down, but generally you learn the tune somewhere at home from a source, recording, album, CD, whatever, or from a person, a friend, whatever. And then when you hear the tune, you go, oh, I know that. You play along. But if you don't know the tune, then you kind of sit back and let them play. Because if you were to play all over it and not know what you were doing, it would kind of sound like... It wouldn't sound that great.
Sort of like cats fighting or something. So just a couple of seconds left to collect some final thoughts about this. Is there special meaning now to the Celtic Sunday sessions deeper sort of sense of feeling about it?
Yeah. I think lately, since we knew it's closing, just about every Sunday has been a really good session.
Now, I noticed that the owner of the Black Sheep Susan Chester, has planned a big two-day event for the closing weekend. So I'm assuming the Celtic Jam will be part of that. You'll have a final one on that Sunday. Do you know yet?
I don't know that for sure, I suspect.
Well, I'd have to find out. Mm-hmm. But the assumption is one of those 2 days there will be a session, and I'm sure it will be posted or it'll be online on her website.
All right. We'll keep an eye on the Black Sheep website. And thanks for really freshening up our ears this morning in the studio, the two of you. This is Dan Engel and Simon Parker Shames sharing the music from the Celtic Jam at the Black Sheep, which is closing in Ashland in about a month from now. Thank you, gentlemen, both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.